Hello, Red vs. Blue fans, and welcome to another episode of the AfterBuzz TV Red vs. Blue After Show. We will be covering episodes 5 through 8, and we will see you after the opening.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
And I appreciate the light show as well. Alexis going above and beyond. Are we having fun?
Well, yeah, because she was doing it on rhythm. So, and I'm always a fan of that.
Yeah.
This is just a remarkably cool song.
It really is. There is just something about the Mission Impossible theme that's so good. So, yes. Welcome to the show. We're back after about a month. Every 4 weeks, it takes us a while. But yes, welcome back to the Red vs. Blue After Show. We are having a blast. We are talking about episodes 5 through 8, The Brick Gulch Chronicles, Orange is the New Red, Invaders from Another Mother, and the number one movie in the galaxy, 3. Personally, I have the wonderful Mark Donica.
That's me. I'm wearing my yellow for sister, of course. but aside from that, happy to be here. Find me on Twitter, Mark B. Donica.
The wonderful Megan Salinas.
Hey guys, you can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N, representing for Blue Team.
And I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter at Kiaxet. That's K-I-A-X-E-T. And I'm wearing what I wore to work.
So. I mean, it's got gray in there. You could be freelancer.
It does. Gray, black, and white. We're going freelance. This is actually my Game of Thrones dress because it's all ravens all the time.
All the ravens.
Anyway, hello to everyone in chat. We are definitely watching the live chat. We are also watching the hashtag ABTVRVB. If you have something fun to say, if you want to join in the conversation, those are the places to do it. I just noticed that you tied your handkerchief around your headphones, so you're going to have a heck of a time getting those off after the show.
Oh, no it'll be
he's
fine.
Good. He's good.
That'll be fine. Okay. I've also got plenty of room. It's not tight.
That's true. All right. So, what did you guys think of these episodes?
I rewatched the brick one. And it was so cute. Oh, I had forgotten because it was weeks ago. And coming back to it again, I was like, oh, yeah, that was freaking adorable.
It was.
Yeah. Crap. I'll have to bring it back later. But something that I noticed from the Brick Gulch Chronicles, but it was a great way to do stop motion. Like the preview just made it look like it was just going to be a Lego episode and animated, but the fact that it was Vic started out with the multiverse theory.
Yes.
Was cool. It's like, oh, so this is just another version of this story in another place. I like the Funhouse episodes. I think they brought a little bit too much into. I mean, they're good at bringing real life into their fictional stuff, just Rooster Teeth in general. Mm-hmm. So bringing the Cult of Peak, that was funny, but I think it could have taken another pass. I still really liked it, but I didn't think we needed two episodes for that. But it was good. It was good, but it was spaced out a little bit too much.
I feel like this was a sandwich where we had really good bread and really mediocre filling. Which doesn't make for the greatest of sandwiches. Like, I love the Brick Gulch Chronicles. I laughed so hard. I thought that episode was incredibly clever. The coming back to the number one movie in the galaxy again and having it be Freddie Wong and Rocket Jump, just it looked amazing. We spent probably 5 minutes talking about how we need a Halo movie done like this. Like,
absolutely.
Yes, please.
That's the group to do it, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, no, they'll do it right.
Yeah.
But Orange is the New Red and Invaders from Another Mother were both just... I was bored. To be completely honest, that I loved Cherry. I thought Cherry was the funniest thing.
Self-destruct button.
Yay, self-destruct initiate. Like, she made me really happy. Hmm. But it might have been because I don't follow a lot of Funhouse. I'm not Funhouse literate.
Funhouse is a different type of comedy. It's I wouldn't say a separation, but it's a departure from the regular comedy that Rooster Teeth does. And this is all sort of like how the original group wrote sort of different type of idiosyncrasies within themselves to sort of quote-unquote exploit. They did the same. So a lot of the characterizations were really there. The fact that Kovic was somebody who just couldn't handle anybody's crap, which which was good. He and James's character were both the normal people. I liked how they made a a Sarge allegory, but I thought since everybody else wasn't, like, we didn't have a Lopez. We didn't have a one-to-one. We didn't have one-to-ones. Why do we have to have a one-to-one with this Sarge, and why weren't they in the Sarge episode a couple of episodes ago when we met all of the Sarges? Like, I think that could have added an extra little thread that could have made it a little bit tighter.
Because they would have died.
Fair play.
Turf would no longer be around if he'd been in the Sarge episode. He'd be dead.
That is fair play.
Or dead earlier.
They're dead now, so it doesn't matter.
Still dead. I really, really enjoyed Sarge 3, but I think they could have spent more time with content. Because the jokes were, here, guys in masks, but we're saying they're celebrities. And that was funny for, like, the first three or four, but they kept going and going and going.
Oh, I was howling the entire time. We got to Tilda Swinton and I lost it.
See, like, if they had, like, there's definitely a place for Tilda Swinton in that cast. I'm not saying that there wasn't. But, like, the parts where I laughed the most were the parts where, oh, these are our characters. Here's Sarge saying, because the Red Hills paid in advance!
Which,
like,
has always been one of my favorites.
So, yes. And then the reason we played the Mission Impossible theme is because they're on the motorcycles talking over each other. Like, that was my favorite part. But it's because we got character. And the part where Agent Washington spoiling at the end. All that stuff. It was a lot of fun, but it was like, we could have cut that down, get a little bit more of real-life dialogue and action and stuff. Because they're good at action. We saw a lot of mass crowd shots of action. Why spend time of doing close-up shots of characters not doing anything?
I honestly thought it was very much an action movie trailer. I mean, you have all the big set piece explosions and whatnot, but you also have them staring at each other angrily or looking as something dramatic happens. Or, you know, the joke is that they're in masks and you can't tell.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was as long as it needed to be. I could have stood for another 15, 20 seconds in the theater with the guys just because I missed them a lot.
Exactly. Dialogue. Our characters. That's like, even the little bit that we got of Caboose and the Laser Team joke was funny.
Laser Team 3! I agree. I do miss, like, our core cast, but after so long. But I agree. I think the Brick episode, the Brick Gulch Chronicles and Freddie Wong's were the best by far. But I'm going to come to the defense of the Funhouse guys a little bit. And I'm with you in the same boat. I am not familiar with their other stuff, so I come as an outsider too. And we were talking about this yesterday. Comedy is so subjective.
Exactly.
That I'm watching this, and even though I'm only occasionally laughing, I'm recognizing that's a joke and that's funny. I'm just not laughing out loud right now, if that makes any sense.
It does.
But I'm gonna go ahead and give an example, actually, with Red vs. Blue. When I got the first season of Red vs. Blue on DVD, I was so jazzed and so pumped. I could not wait to sit down and show it to all my friends, but I sat down with one friend, and within the first 30 seconds, the second they mentioned a box canyon in the middle of nowhere, she was in hysterics. Mm-hmm. She was dying of laughter, and we laughed throughout the entire DVD. I went over to another friend's house, and I popped it in, and we got through the entire first episode, and it was dead silence, and I went, oh, no.
Wrong crowd.
Wrong crowd. So comedy is really subjective. And by the time we got to that was a long season, by the way, sitting down for that one.
Just wait. Wait till episode 50. Trust me. It'll be great. Fantastic.
Just wait till season 6. Just wait till season 6.
They're like, you're crazy.
Well, you know, there's a whole crop of people where it's like, oh, don't even bother with Blood Gulch. Just go into season 6.
That,
like, no, I have a cadre of people where it's like, I'm getting you into Red versus Blue. We're starting with episode 1. Yes, this is a good jumping on point. This is a good jumping on point. But really, if you want to understand why you ever wonder why we're here is actually really legitimately funny, we're starting with episode 1.
And
I'm one of those people.
But it's also, there's so many other just small instances with the characters that get referenced throughout the entire saga.
Yeah.
It makes it that much deeper and that much thicker. And to quote unquote, and for us audio listeners,
he's doing scare quotes.
Slug through the first 5 seasons is, that's not like, I had a friend who I was trying to get into it. He's like, I couldn't make it really into past like season 2. And I was like, give it time. It's something that you need to be ready for. Like, yeah, it's something that's worth your time. I highly recommend anybody to do it. In reference to the Funhouse one, because they're a different cut of comedy. There are a lot of times during their stuff where I'm not uproariously laughing. They're not ha ha yucksters, so to speak. They're super subtle, just with how they randomly change how they talk or what they talk about and go along with a reference that somebody made, and really subtle. So I think that their style flourished here, but it's not a style that the mass. And already the Achievement Hunter, the regular Achievement Hunter audience doesn't really like Funhouse at times, and they're like, why are they even on this channel? So
calm down, rivalry.
Give it time. This is a new group of guys and injected a different type of lifeblood into this company.
I will see the red team being FH57 and the blue FS or FH, I can't remember, 57, and the blue team being AH13, like. Yes.
Yeah.
Subtle references. God bless.
And somebody touched on it in chat, Zanordo in chat. My favorite thing was going back and watching the Brickle Chronicles and having Jen Brown as the mom go, Malcolm Hargrove. And I went, whoa! Like, I totally missed it the first time. The second time, I was like, yeah, this is awesome. Sweet revenge.
I definitely got that the first time. It just kind of went...
I'm going to my room and never coming out.
Is his older brother Leonard? Because they were Leonard's toys. They were his older brother's toys.
Yeah, that's what it was like. It was like, brother, who's the brother? Can we? Yeah. The stupid random things that come up that may not be plot related, but are because they rhyme. It's really.
Let's be real. His brother is Leonard. We're rolling with it. Everyone has accepted this.
Why can't he just play like video games like a normal kid?
So happy. Social norms are changing.
Where did that child get hydrochloric acid?
That was my biggest question.
Me too. Like
I'll buy the firecrackers. I totally get the firecrackers, but he must have swiped them from school. That's the only place. Like, he must have gone to a place that was both an elementary school, a middle school, and a high school. Because that's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, I do not remember having hydrochloric acid in chemistry in middle school or even high school.
Lock up chemicals as far away from children and teenagers as they can possibly manage.
One
of my goals in life is to get a small hunk of pure cesium and throw it into a pond, because I know what happens. And you know what happens.
That's a dream.
That is a dream. I saw it on a video once, and it was beautiful. We RVB descriptive audio in the chat says finding acid isn't hard. I'm like, okay. All right. I feel like there's a story there, and I feel like I would be implicated in something if I listened to it. So
just be descriptive.
Yeah.
I think also the fact that the first group of episodes were so sort of tied into story, and these ones were. I would say a complete departure.
These are what we would call fandom OCs, fandom original characters. And it's sometimes the fandom OCs go really well, and sometimes it's just like, well, that was nice. I mean, I watched one episode twice. I watched the other one three times. Cherry made me laugh every single time. But aside from that, I don't think I'll be watching them again. They were just not my speed.
I mean, it is nice, again, as you said, the idea that multiverse theory was brought up, and then we get this, you know, essentially trio of stories. Although granted, the Funhouse ones are still sort of in that canon.
They
still work.
The number one movie in the galaxy is also, I loved the preface for the PSA that, you know, our characters take the time to come and talk to you, the audience, about important things like voter rights and the true meaning of Christmas. And I'm like, this is also when the animators collapse into a corner and attempt to catch their breath before next week catches up to them. Like, PSAs are just like, we are behind the curve for animation, you guys. We need to schedule in these breaks, otherwise we're gonna die.
But funnily enough, I think this PSA is the most work done on a PSA in the entire history of the show.
There were explosions.
Yes, so that I enjoyed this a lot. I think I need to go and watch more Rocket Jump stuff, because this was a ton of fun.
They do something called This Week at Rocket Jump, where it starts out as like a vlog style, but it turns into a short. They have an amazing short film. Freddy wants to be a really cool boss, so he fills the office with ball pit balls. And it starts, everybody's like, oh, you're the best ever. And then like an hour later, everybody's like, I'm trying to get my work done. Where's the mouse? And then it just takes the the worst possible turn. And it's horrifying. Like, not even exaggerating. It's like when the twist slash reveal starts.
What's the name of the sketch? My favorite sketch.
But if you just look up Rocket Jump Ball Pit.
When you woke up, it wasn't Seattle.
It's worse. It's frightening. And also, they did one. Rocket Jump is amazing, and I like the fact that we're getting these from the different houses. Excuse the pun. So that people can get a chance to see other people's work and really expand their horizons.
Well, and I know Shannon McCormick is behind one. Barb's going to be behind one. I have said this multiple times, and I'll say it again. I cannot wait to see what Ernest Cline does. I am just so excited.
I wonder what the Game Grumps are going to do, because they have a history. They were in the Chorus trilogy. So is it going to be about their characters, or are they going to do something
That would be really funny.
Like, right in the lap! Where is it? Oh, it's right on my lap! Complains about that.
Well, and we know this is kind of more predictions territory, and we'll get there. We kind of know what we're getting for the next three or so episodes because of the post Miles made, and that is something that we will bandy around when we get towards the end of things. Mm-hmm. I think we're actually going to be doing a super short after show today because multiple reasons.
Yeah.
Is there anything that really stuck out to you guys about the Brick Gulch Chronicles? Anything that you want to bring
up? Yes, I absolutely adored the references. The Jurassic Park references, the Toy Story references, the Lego movie references, all of the, like, all, seeing them all sprinkled throughout. I'm like, this is like so many of my favorite things just stuck in a blender and like put onto the screen. It's fantastic. Particularly when Jen's about to step on them. Again, it was right out of Toy Story.
Mm. Yeah.
And
honestly, Malcolm's behavior was right out of Toy Story. I'm like, oh, it's Sid.
He was basically Sid. And I give kudos to anybody who always integrates a Jurassic Park reference into anything. I always give kudos. I'm waiting for somebody to do Clever Girl in a movie. And I don't think I've seen one yet, but no one's done that yet. Please do it. It makes me so happy.
We have hope for Simmons. Yeah.
Well, and I loved the breakfast in bed running joke. Like, as long as you do the traditional breakfast in bed, you're fine.
See?
That's not a thing.
And the most valuable thing you have in Blue Base, and he brings out shirts.
That was like, so sweet.
So that's what I have to say about the Brick Gulch Chronicles is this. We were talking about how important seasons 1 through 5 are. If you want a distilled, super, super distilled version of the type of humor and the type of world that they built in seasons 1 through 5 and you haven't gone back and seen it, this is sort of a window into that. You get the very basics of what these characters are, except they replaced Doc with freckles. But aside from that,
you basically get all of their character relationships, like Donut being like, I thought you guys were the rescue. And they're like, Donut. No, we didn't notice you were gone.
I thought you were dead. Nah.
It's like, he'll be back.
He just comes back and no one ever explains it. That's the joke.
Yeah, whatever, he'll come back in 5 years or something. We just watched him die. And there's like, about that, Sarge, about your no loss record, about Donut. What? I'm right here, guys. I'm like, no. So having that distillation, Griff's relationship with food, the pizza bit was phenomenal.
And Caboose using a firecracker as a candle at the end.
But also,
like,
sticking on Griff, his speech about nobody ever wants to do what I want to do. And damn it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to stick to my guns and do something about it. Are you stupid? But having Griff stand up for himself, like, we very rarely see him, but he did at some point through 1 through 5, and you may go, oh, he's not just a lazy guy. He's a really lazy guy.
He picks his battles specifically when it comes to food doing as little work as possible.
He puts effort into his laziness.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oddly enough.
The energy he saves from being lazy gets, like, a stockpile until it gets released.
Well, those are the times where he has to run for his life. So
yeah.
It's good to have that stockpile of extra. It's like, that's not how it works. No, we're talking Blood Gulch. That is how it works. It can work however you want it to work. Who needs physics?
Yeah.
But yeah, Brick Gulch was absolutely fantastic. I love that. Did they name the cat Puma?
They never did.
It was a big cat.
They never name checked it.
It was a big cat.
It was a big cat.
It was a big cat.
Even if there was, if we got to see the script, I'm sure it would say a cat, Puma, and then...
Yeah.
I'm actually surprised we didn't see the script in the short. Like, it was that type of an open world short where it's like, oh, there's a script right there. Cool.
Yeah.
Like, Leonard is making this scene. Like, he's trying to make a web series or something, and that would have gotten even more meta.
Or, like, to make it more meta, Leonard, the older brother, is writing, you know... He's writing a short about his little brother like messing with his toys who are alive.
He's hearing about what he's hearing what's downstairs, and he's like, I have an idea, like thing. Also, at the end,
pushes his glasses up slowly.
Nice poll. How much of a mind blower would it be if at the end, even though this isn't a real episode or anything, it has no time or space, if Tucker was in the meta armor in the movie theater?
I know. Oh, my God.
But like, they're like, I wonder if they're like, should we? No, then that gives a story after the thing. We don't want to do that. But if they just went like, or if you saw the meta and heard Tucker's voice and then he like came out or something.
You
that
just
would have
blew
just,
my mind.
Yeah.
Because then it definitely, as a PSA, it does take place after the fact.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. So you can't really do that until we sort of get placed in some way definitively after the fact, whether it's, you know, 5 minutes after the fact or 3 months after the fact, however long after season 13 ended.
How long did your cliffhanger happen? About a season and a half.
Well, yeah. Because it, again, Miles
blew
said,
it in a PSA. Didn't see that one coming.
It's like, it's our cliffhanger is going to last for a year and a half because we're going to put a whole other season in the middle, and it's just like,
well,
dangling.
And Miles said, and maybe he was just trolling a little bit, but Miles said that if he had his way, he would never show, you know, that fight, or we would never see the definitive, like, consequences of that fight. We would
skip
forward a little bit down the line.
Oh, I'm sure that's exactly what they're going to do. Why would you pick up on that? It's a great ending. You just pick up season 16, and you just kind of go, well, we won. And everyone else goes, what?
The point is that Epsilon will never know. He has to go out on a limb. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the point. So
yes. And I love it. And I also want the fan animations of that battle, if they exist. I don't know. Someone made their own animated GIFs at one point, and it was heartbreaking because they definitely imagined a bad end.
But I mean, no matter what,
they were beautiful, but my heart hurts badly.
No matter what, fan or otherwise, I don't think I want to see the direct end of that. As much as right when it ended, I was like, "That's where you're ending it." Like since then, it's
you
like
monster.
That is a wonderful, beautiful way to end that season.
That's one of those things where emotionally you're angry, but intellectually you're like, "No, that's a great idea."
Intellectually,
that
was freaking brilliant.
This is wonderful, but your emotions at the time are still like, "Shut up, brain." We're going to feel feelings right now.
Like you want to shout, but you're just like, that makes sense.
We don't have a heck of a lot of time. We can talk about this on our panel at RTX. Breathe. So let's talk about Orange is the New Red and Invaders from Another Mother. Is there anything we didn't bring up that you guys wanted to talk about?
I think if we get another, at some point, if we get another set of storyline with... like, if we get another season of just whatever, throw science to the wall, see what sticks. I would like to see the build of this, because we did, like, to see how, like, they talked about what happened. I feel if we saw what happened, as opposed to the aftermath of what happened, it would be a little bit more like season 6 and beyond, instead of, like, Blood Gulch, which it kind of resembled, but it might have gotten a little bit more interest. But I really enjoyed the episodes.
Yeah, I don't hate them, absolutely not, and I think there's a lot of good stuff in them. For me, what I think would have elevated them, or, like, if we're gonna return to this as, like, a jumping off point, I would like to see Command/Freelancer HQ actively manipulating and see how the relationship between command manipulation and like the results, because we sort of get that in a Blood Gulch Chronicles, but again we're getting it in pieces in terms of Freelancer and then, you know, Florida coming in and everything like that. So I would like to, in real time, see Command do something and then immediately see the result, you know, for our reds and blues. I think that would be very interesting, kind of like, it's kind of voyeuristic, but watching Command watch the reds and blues, yeah, if that makes any sense.
The popcorn dot gif of it all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The very rear window.
Yeah, these episodes were okay. Again, for me, Cherry was the absolute best part of them. Made me laugh every single time.
She was
evidently
very funny.
She's a takeoff on Siri and Siri's occasional inability to figure out what the heck you're talking about. Mm-hmm. So there's that.
On that, though, she actually, aside from that, Elise Williams, the woman who voiced Cherry, has that sort of an air about her on Funhouse. So I would recommend, if you ever see Elise in like a thumbnail, check it out. Both her and James, who wrote the episode, have amazing senses of humor.
All right.
Even their like personal channel stuff.
All right. And number one movie in the galaxy, 3. I just loved the litany of celebrities. It made me so happy. I managed to spell Matthew McConaughey correctly in my notes, and I don't know how I
did
that.
McConaughey.
All right. But I thought the list of celebrities was one of the funniest things that they did, because it just kept going, and because I loved it.
I was a big fan of just the whole approach, because, and we talked a little bit about this right after we watched the episode, but there's absolutely no reason why video game movies shouldn't be good. And I feel like if Freddie Wong and his team wanted to make a full-length Halo feature that absolutely kicked ass, shut up and take my money. And we've definitely seen what Rooster Teeth is capable of when they have the budget for a feature film. Why can't we have a Halo movie?
And I mean,
that's all I want now.
And I know everyone's going to talk about it. We had Forward Unto Dawn, which was kind of marketed and released as a miniseries. Forward Unto Dawn, I really liked it, but I will say I laughed when it stopped being a political and war think piece and became an out-and-out creature feature horror movie.
Yeah.
Like, there was a complete 180, and I...
Did you watch the series or the feature cut?
The feature cut.
Okay.
Whatever was on Netflix.
Yeah, it was the feature cut.
I watched Forward Unto Dawn as well, and I thought it was good, not great, but it was probably the best live-action video game thing, but with the exception of maybe the Mortal Kombat miniseries
I thought you meant the first movie.
No, that Machinima did.
No, the miniseries that was interesting and compelling
that
and dark and gritty.
Did.
Warner Brothers.
But never got finished for some reason.
Yeah.
I guess they ran out of money. But there's, like I said, there's no reason why we can't have a good video game movie.
I would trust
these guys to do it.
The thing about Rocket Jump is I don't know if they, unless somebody came to them and said, make this movie, if they got an opportunity to make a movie, they would want something that was their voice, their characters,
that's
their originality.
Very true. Which makes all of the sense.
And I really liked their vision for the Red versus Blue universe. I was really hoping that it was going to be an episode instead of a PSA. That being said, I'm happy that it's Sarge 3. But yeah.
Because it was perfect for them.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I thought we were going to get like a live action version of like the highway chase or something that like we would finally see one of these action scenes in real life that Monty was so great at and the team was so great at. So yeah, that's. I think that was another thing, is because I had an expectation for an episode as opposed to a PSA. But I still enjoyed it. Yeah.
My only other thing about the final one is that, like, it takes a lot for me to not look at a movie or a short and just see it as that. It takes a lot for me to get, like, broken out of, like, this is the story. When I went back and rewatched it, I started thinking, like, I want to see the shot breakdown. I want to see all of the technical aspects about how this was made, because this is absolutely fantastic. And I know that sounds super nerdy.
And that's how we know you're a filmmaker.
Yeah, no, the production aspect of it, too.
Exactly.
Is like, how did you wrangle all of these people in
costume?
I want to
see the shot list. I want to see the costuming.
They had to have
so
had headsets so that you could actually talk to them and they could hear you.
Oh,
because
yeah.
With all of the action and everybody wearing helmets, it was probably just a lot of...
Yep.
It was madness.
It's like, it's the same way when I see a play I really like. I want the script so I can tear it apart like the English major I am. Mm. That's an appreciation.
Where are the
given
commas?
Your skill set.
I need to know the commas and the semicolons.
No, not even that. I want to sit there and look, and they use this device and they did this and it comes back here and this is foreshadowing. Mm. Yeah, yeah. I watched a really good play about, honest to God, an AI named Allison. At one
yeah,
point.
That was
yeah,
weird.
That was amazing.
She said, my name is Allison. And we were both like, what?
We're sitting in the front row of this, like, 100-seat theater downtown. What was the theater?
I don't remember. It's Westwood.
Best, good, well-known, but not, yeah, no. We're sitting in the very front row of this theater, sitting there going,
we were the when only the ones
AI
that
is revealed to Sydney Allison. It's like, when I say like, front what? Row, I mean the stage was 2 inches away from us and there was no elevation on the stage. It was just there.
That's fun.
So I'm wondering if they were like, who were those people in the front and row and
was,
what does Allison mean to
really
them?
It was really funny
who
because,
are those weirdos?
But I, while I was watching this play, I sat down and I was like, okay, guys, there's coincidence and then there's just plain plagiarism.
Because it was extremely director and Red versus Blue and Can't Let Go of the Woman I Loved. And it was just like, and she's an AI and her name is Allison. I'm seeing myself
thank
out.
You.
Oh
thank
my
you,
God.
Thank you, Donut, for the reference that I needed.
It's just a guy who's just like, I've got this great idea, and like his like co-writer going, that's real original, something you got there. Why don't you watch the show? Don't have time, I'm going to be writing. Well,
either that or it really was his Red versus Blue fan fiction.
Yeah, maybe.
You just, know what? It was amazing.
Multiverse theory.
Multiverse theory.
Why don't we get into the next part of the show?
I will. Just
sorry.
The last
no, that's fine. No, it had a place in this show.
Yeah, just but, the last bit for the Freddie Wong episode. I had not realized how much I really missed the Blood Gold crew as we have them now until they came back. And partially that's because I am a huge Wash fan. And it's like, oh,
and
you're
I like
back.
How you
I missed you.
You bring him in as a Blood Gold member. Even
he is
though,
now. He's been adopted.
He is now. Aww. But the way you said it is like, oh, OG Blood Gold crew. Nope. Wait.
No, the Blood Gold crew as they are now.
Yeah. I'm still like, the whole reason I'm wearing this yellow thing is for Sister. I said it before, I'll say it again.
She's still alive. She's still out there. She's we need somewhere. Her back. We need Junior back.
That's
like, obviously.
That's what the next episode's about. It's about Sister at the club tearing it up. Well, imagine the cop out. Like there are theories, and we've seen them in the chat. Do you want to get into predictions?
Let's do iTunes first.
Let's do iTunes first. I just
thank
want to
you
make
guys
sure.
for reviewing. We
sure
love you guys. We're on iTunes. Like, comment, subscribe, all that fun stuff. Leave us a rating. If you leave us a rating, we read it out loud. I actually did not have time to look them up before we came here because life has been completely insane. But we do read them on the show. We do adore you people. And if you like the show, if you want the show to keep going, that is the best way to let our producers know that you like us talking about these people who are no longer in a box canyon in the middle of nowhere and you want us to continue. So, yes, like, comment, subscribe, leave ratings on iTunes, leave reviews on iTunes. We adore you all, and I hope you know that by now. So let's talk predictions.
Ooh. Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Miles, thank you for doing the light show.
Yeah. Nope. Miles put up a post talking about how the next couple of episodes were his. Mm-hmm. Oh, dear God. Ooh. They are
how
animated.
How many people are looks- going to die? Because that's Miles Luna.
Well, given the shot that they give us, the going theory is that it's Arrera and that it's early Freelancer. At which point I will just absolutely lose my mind. So they are streaming it in the Red versus Blue panel on Saturday afternoon. They are actually going to show the episode in the Twitch live stream of the panel. They're not going to cut the stream for the people at home. So even if you can't go to RTX, you can still watch it.
Just don't pirate it.
Yeah, don't pirate it.
Don't put it on
be cool,
released,
guys.
It's released for sponsors at the normal time the next day. It's released to people with accounts at the normal time on Monday. Like, this is maybe 14 hours earlier, but also with a very large crowd. So guess where I'm planning on being at 2 p.m. on Saturday?
Starbucks.
You, maybe.
Maybe.
I'm going to be there.
I'm going to be trying not to melt. Wherever I am, I'm going to be trying not to melt.
It's going to be so hot.
You know what? It was hotter in L.A. last weekend.
Magic about it.
So, predictions, you guys. I think it's going to be Arrera. I am going to go just absolutely crazy. I'm very excited.
I didn't see the promo, so I didn't see what.
Oh, good.
What
it's just
then yours will be a lot. Yours will be a lot.
It's just
pure.
Yeah. I haven't seen it. No, I don't know what it is.
So without it, what do you expect to see from Miles?
Miles, obviously, we're
agony.
We're going back to canon. If it looks like it takes place pre-Freelancer, that could be really interesting. It'd be cool to like get some real names for some of these freelancers.
Oh my God!
Oh God! This would be the way to do it.
And everyone's headcanons just get shattered.
Even better. And this is because of how much of a jerk I think I am. And this is how I would write it. Since they're going to the club, what's your name? And you can't hear it over the music. So they're going to say their names, so but you won't be able to hear them.
What I like sure even more,
Herrera
is a nightclub.
Yeah. Is it the nightclub where York and Carolina met?
Yes, that is the nightclub where York and Carolina met. Do we know if this is at Herrera? No. What I would love to see is York introducing himself to people and using a different name every time.
And we
never see the reply.
Slick son of a pig.
I would really, I mean, it would make sense for that to be his episodes here because York's episode, you know, Miles' first episode writing for Red vs. Blue officially.
Out of mind.
Was York's recording. No, wasn't out of mind.
The episode is called Out of Mind.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the miniseries. That's not quite right.
Not at all confusing, but no, the season 10 episode is called Out of Mind.
That would be a very fitting thing because that's where he started as a writer for Rooster Teeth. That would be great. That would be a wonderful, like, full circle moment.
And it also means that we're bringing back, like, Sean and John and Shanna and all those wonderful people.
I would like to see them reuse the animation from the dance in Ruby Season 2. Somewhere in the background.
Yes.
Somewhere in the background. And they, like, throw somebody out and you see Iron Hilda, like, just being, like, she was thrown out of the soldier carrier. And it just, I think they have an opportunity to reuse some good animation here because we're getting out of Machinima.
That would be a thing of wonder and glory. Oh my God.
I figure. It's gotta happen. Not even like, everybody move, look at this animation. It's a joke. But if you, in the back, see four people moving in sync, like, just that. Like, that
because
would be
that dance goes with everything.
It does. Still trying to learn that.
It's the dance equivalent of Guile's theme.
Guile? From Street Fighter?
Yeah.
Guile. Did Giles from Buffy had like a really good theme that I never noticed?
Well, yes, he did, but not like that.
All right.
Okay.
It's been a long day.
If that is all we have for predictions, I think we need to wrap it up with one real quick announcement. Starting tomorrow,
we are
all going to be in Austin for RTX.
Oh. Woo!
So for those of you who are interested, I will be at the charity auction on Thursday night for side quests, so you can find me there. These two, and of course, Deez, will be at the screener. I cannot for the life of me remember what it's called.
The red carpet event for Crunch Time and
Day 5, which is evidently open to the public and first come, first serve for seating.
Good luck. I mean, we're trying to get seats too.
Yeah.
So we hope so. Yeah. So we're gonna try to talk to as many people as we can on the red carpet for Thursday, but for Friday, that's gonna be the day of our general Rooster Teeth panel at 5 p.m.
And it's in the convention hall, so that we will be talking about Red versus Blue. We'll be talking about X-Ray and Vab. We'll be talking about Laser Team, and we will be taking your questions. So if you ever wanted to ask about any crazy weird things, that's the place to do it. Our
happenings
Ruby
at the studio. And yeah, really. Like that's the panel where we're not.
It's a chance to peek behind the curtain ever so slightly.
And I would say not necessarily unfocused, but we have a little bit looser of an outline because we're talking about so many different things. I don't suspect to talk about X-Ray and Vav for more than 5 to 10 minutes.
You
know, it's just kind of a, hey, you like this? Does anybody have a question to talk about? No? All right, moving on. I really liked it. Hopefully season 3.
Fingers crossed.
And our Ruby panel is on Saturday at noon. So show up, have fun. That's going to be great. That is also, we're in the convention center for all of our panels. That's wonderful. Third floor, fourth floor. And then on Sunday, Megan and I will be on the RT Community Reacts panel at 4 p.m. Also in the convention center. I'm just going to stay in the convention center the whole time. You can't make me leave. It's too hot outside.
Dude, after last year, like having to walk from the convention center to this hotel, to that hotel, to this hotel, and in that heat and in that humidity.
And then getting there and finding out that the panel you wanted to get into has been capped and was for the past 30 seconds.
Oh no, but also getting into the press room and finding out the people you're going to interview got moved. So you're interviewing completely different people that you didn't do any research on. That is something that totally didn't happen last year.
Wow. We're professionals.
We are professional adjacent, according to Steve Bloom.
Steve Bloom, that monster I saw at the Ren Fair. I felt really bad. I was in half costume. He was in full costume. I was like, I don't want to say hi, because then I'd be professional adjacent again. We're going to be all around the convention center. We're going to be doing some media there, so we're going to be in and out of the actual floor as much as we can. If you see us around and you want to say hi, that was the coolest thing last year.
If we're waiting in line for something, if we're hanging out before a panel starts, if we're, you know, hanging out, not in the merch store, that has a good flow of traffic, you know, if we're just futzing around, say hi.
Please.
Come greet us. We're people. Yeah. We like you guys.
We do indeed. Heart.
Okay, I think that is good. We will see you guys. Those of you who are there, we will see you this weekend. If not, we will be back in another 4 weeks for another after show.
But also, they're streaming the event on Twitch. So you can watch our panels on Twitch. I'm actually looking for somebody to record them so we can have a secondary video
feed. Upload them for people who don't catch it
live. Let me know on Twitter, and we'll get to those in a moment.
Yes. So, thank you guys for joining us. Mark, where can the people find you?
Here's that moment. You can find me on Twitter, at Mark Bidonica. Let me know if you can record the Twitch stream. We want to utilize it for our own nefarious purposes. Also, the best way to keep track of all of us that weekend is our Twitter account, which is ABTV Rooster Team. That is the best way, because we're just going to keep posting the panel information until we don't. That's where we're going to be posting all of our interviews, our playlists, everything. So, Mark Bidonica for me, ABTV Rooster Team for all of us and our activities at RTX this weekend. Maybe I'll come in costume. I don't know. I would have to put something together really quick. But I don't know.
I don't know where you would find the materials for that.
It's crunch time, man.
It is a mystery.
It is a mystery.
It will forever be a mystery.
Audio listeners don't even know.
I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheManguin. That's TheManguin. I'm also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, and I write articles for The Movie Chick. That's Chick with 2 Ks. Be sure to check those out.
And I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, and YouTube at Kiaxet. That's K-I-A-X-E-T. I am also on Snapchat at Kia Prime. I plan on posting like a crazy person this weekend. So, you know, one person RTX coverage right up in there. I have about 6 hours to decide whether or not I'm going to cosplay this weekend. So we shall see. And most of my after shows are on hiatus at this point. So yes, just follow me on the social networks. We do reaction videos on YouTube. It's going to be great. Thank you guys so much for watching. For those of you who are going to be at RTX, we will see you there. Everyone else, we will see you in 4 weeks.
Bye. Later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Show construction!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.